All right, let's switch gears as we always do. That's why I bring in Army Intelligence Captain Kenneth Bombace. Served in Iraq, you know the deal. President of the Suffolk Police Veterans Association. Represented 400-plus veterans, many Afghan vets, folks. Many a trip he coordinated to visit wounded troops. Great organization he had. At Walter Reed, visiting them, also a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee for the County Executive, Steve Malone, former Congressman Steve Israel, and has given us a tremendous perspective as far as what's been happening over in Afghanistan, in and around, some new pieces to the puzzles regarding Mark Milley. We'll get into that today, as well as Anthony Blinken, the aforementioned Captain Kenneth Bombace. Sir, welcome back. There is a lot to absorb over this over the past 4 days. You know, the Blinken interrogation, virtual style, I might add, via Congress and the Senate. Two horrific days, I think, for this current administration. And now we have this a new piece of pie to devour, and that's all concerning Mark Milley and the book Peril, Woodward and Costa. I mean, where do you want to start here, sir?
Morning, Jay. So, yeah, I guess we'll start right there with the General Milley phone call to China. So, I guess we'll start with the fact that it's been reported, obviously, that a new book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa called Peril, it hasn't been released, I want to note. So no one has, you know, the general populace has not read this book. There's a section in there, reportedly, that outlines how Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, made a call to his counterpart in the Chinese military to assure him that the U.S. wasn't planning an attack. And it doesn't stop there. The report, there are also reports, and none of these have been confirmed other than from secondhand reports that have read these excerpts from the book. There's also reports that have been confirmed that General Milley also told his Chinese counterpart that he would let him know we were going to plan an attack, and it wouldn't be a surprise. He states that I've known you for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'll let you know, and it won't be a surprise. Obviously, there's been some disputes about that part of it, too. None of this has been confirmed, but we're going to take this at the reports at face value and talk about what the repercussions will be if this is true. So, I mean, Jay, why exactly is this so troubling if we're true? I mean, obviously, I think anyone that hears it doesn't think it sounds great. But first, our founding fathers, they created a system in our nation of civilian leadership in the military. And if he acted outside of the president at the time, President Trump, and the Secretary of Defense, then obviously he would have, that would constitute violating that role of civilian leadership over the military. So that would be incredibly troubling. And additionally, outside of that, simply for a general, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, to warn our enemy, one of our greatest enemies, really our adversaries in the world, to tell them, I'll warn you if we're going to attack. I mean, just thinking militarily and strategically, I mean, what a disaster that would immediately be, I think, grounds for a resignation at a minimum, if not, obviously, a court-martial. There's been talk that if all of this were true, there could be a court-martial for treason, telling our enemies, you know, first of all, telling them what the president's going outside of that chain of command and saying, hey, don't worry, there is no attack plan. That's not his job to do that. And also, I mean, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs doesn't really even have an operational role. That's not the chairman of the Joint Chiefs' position. That's not what he's supposed to be doing, is conducting operations or discussing operations with our adversaries like that. What's going to happen now? What to believe? Well, we probably won't have a solid answer until General Milley testifies September 28th. And by the way, Jay, this testimony was originally supposed to be about the ongoing debacle in Afghanistan, but now it's had to be expanded to include questioning on this phone call to China, which is very troubling if any part of it is true. So, of course, we've seen yesterday President Biden fully supports Milley and came out and stated that. I mean, at this point, Jay, I don't think there's really much of an option for him. They're in this Afghanistan thing up to their neck. I don't think he could throw them under the bus right now at this point. You know, they're in this together, and he has to show support for them, at least so far. But I think the reason that it's so important, we want to make sure that there wasn't politics involved in this. I mean, I think there's not too many people that would say that General Milley hasn't demonstrated that he has been sort of courting the left in this country. And we also have heard reports that Nancy Pelosi had called him, because there was two phone calls. One was saying, we're not going to attack, and possibly saying, I'll let you know if we will. Then there was a second phone call after January 6th, where he tells from Nancy Pelosi to him, and he talks about, she talks about, hey, we have to do something. You need control of the nuclear football, right? And that is troubling in itself also. That if he was doing this based on political motivations rather than following his chain of command and acting appropriately, that's a concern that we have right now. There needs to be that part needs to be investigated. The phone calls can obviously be investigated here, and we need to know what exactly was said. If there's transcripts, we need to see them. You know, if I were in Congress, that's what the questions I would ask.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, the transcripts are the key here, because they will pretty much cement this stuff as far as what's being said. But, you know, if you collude with a foreign power against a sitting president, a commander-in-chief, that is pretty urgent as far as getting to the bottom of things. And I'll tell you another thing, and a lot of people don't talk about this. What about Bob Woodward and Rob Acosta? You know, with the book, I understand you want to savor every thing you can imagine about the debut of a book, money and everything else. I get it. Shock factor. But don't you feel you have an obligation? Robert Woodward, who's been around 100 years, okay? Woodward Bernstein, remember that, folks? Don't you feel you have an obligation to somehow figure out what's being said here and immediately take that information, because this is national security stuff here we're talking about. And how do you savor this for the purpose of a debut of a book without telling the powers that be of possibilities here of someone who has usurped his authority, has gone above the president of the United States? You know, if true, two secret phone calls, we're talking about top Chinese military officials, while Donald Trump was still serving as a president. One October last year, folks, and one this past January. And reportedly, if it's true, and again, that's why transcripts are key here, Captain, Milley reassuring the Chinese that Trump, the only U.S. president in two decades not to start a foreign war, was not on the cusp of invading. Can you imagine that? I mean, he went so far as to vow to tip off Beijing in the case of an impending attack. I mean, come on. I mean,
yep.
Something has to be said here as far as the role of Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, if this is true. And that's why we go back to the transcripts, you know. Transcripts are key. Transcripts don't lie, because there was staff in on that phone call. Okay, you know that. And the fact of the matter is, it needs to be out there. Exactly
right.
From that transcript of that call, Captain.
That's right, Jay. And, you know, there's a few things to take from this. You know, I've heard some people state, there was an article in the Journal this morning where they're like, well, there is a precedent for warning before attacks. And they mentioned, like, when we did a missile strike in Syria. You know, completely different. A limited missile strike. We all know that has happened, where they give moments before we're going to do it. They're like, yeah, you might want to get any civilians out of there because we're about to attack, right? And we do that as sort of a courtesy to save innocent people. That is not the same thing as going to war with China. I mean, there's a big difference here in telegraphing what we're going to be doing. And I think everybody knows that. That much is clear. Plus, the acting Secretary of Defense, Christopher Miller, who was in charge during the second phone call, he came out and very strongly stated, I never authorized anything like this. He called for his resignation. He says this should not stand, that he should be in that position right now having done this, either of the phone calls. So that's got to be brought into these questions on September 28th. We want to know exactly what happened. We want to know about the phone calls with Nancy Pelosi. What did she say? How did you react to that? And what did you do about the nuclear football questions also? She was demanding, of course, that's what this, where this stems from. This book is called Peril, and it's all supposed to be about Donald Trump and how he was unhinged and he had been making threats. First of all, he's made no threats to attack China. Did he speak strongly about China in terms of trade and competition? Of course he did. That was part of his platform. He never said it. I don't think anyone thought he was going to war with China. This is a president who got us out of conflicts, not brought us into them. And I think this is, you know, the book is obviously politically motivated. And that speaks to why that they had all this information and never said anything about it. And I'll tell you another thing, Jay. One of the questions that needs to be asked is, General Milley is saying, well, I reviewed intelligence. That's why I made these phone calls, because I reviewed intelligence that the Chinese were afraid we were going to attack. I mean, at some level, the Chinese government and military, they're always concerned we're going to attack. That's why they're constantly building their military. They're seen as a an adversary, right, in the global order. That doesn't mean that, you know, I would like to know what that intelligence is. When he says I reviewed intelligence, is that just an excuse so that he could take his political marching orders from Nancy Pelosi and go and make these phone calls, but he needed cover? No, it's actually intelligence. I needed to simmer things down a bit. That's what I want to know. That's one of the key questions that has to come, because that intelligence is there. You could have committees see that intelligence and determine if that's legitimate or not. So there's so many questions that need to be asked about this, Jay, that I would be surprised if this doesn't get really messy after September 8th when he testifies. It's one thing coming out right now and President Biden say, I support him, this is nonsense. And another thing when you're under oath and being questioned. That's when things get real, and there's possible pending criminal charges if you lie. That's when things get real, and they're going to have to, and we're going to have evidence that's going to have to be shown to us to determine in Congress to determine if this was legitimate or not.
Also, bewildered over the contact with House Speaker Pelosi, at whose direction he appears to have initiated, if true, not only the Pentagon meeting, but overtures to the heads of the Central Intelligence Agency, Captain, and National Security Agency. I'm concerned over the involvement of Pelosi here. I mean, this is just unbelievable. If any of this stuff is true, he's got to go. You know, he's got to go immediately, because you can't, as I said yesterday, be judge, jury, executioner, and determine, didn't realize Milley has a medical background, to a kind of somehow decipher cognitive impairment. Basically, if all this is true, the fact that he had no confidence in Donald Trump, took it upon himself to talk to his adversary in a communist country and basically assuring them that there would be no attack, which, can you imagine if this is true? Because now you put that thought process into the heads of state of China. As far as, wait a minute, attack? What are we talking about here? Can you imagine after that call that Milley had with that guy? What that leader did as far as maybe going to the higher up, President Xi and whatnot? And the word attack here? Somebody had a very good correlation here. You know, the fact, you go back to Pearl Harbor, right? December 7th, 1941. I mean, could you imagine if word got out and we were prepared and everything else as far as the imminent attack on that dreadful day? Could you imagine the ramifications, folks, of all of this stuff, what Milley did, if true? If true. Okay. Now, listen, Bob Woodward, say what you want about him. You know, he's a pretty, you know, in the industry, as far as journalism and everything else, he's at the top of his game, according to many. So, you know, when writing this book, Peril, him and Robert Casa, you know, they're just not going to put propaganda in there, okay? And that's why it is so important to have this commission and to get Mark Milley in front and answer these questions. This is vital to everything involved, national security especially. I mean, the ramifications are unbelievable here. Captain, yeah, I know we're short on time. We gotta get you on a couple. I want to switch to the second rung on this ladder here, and we'll save Afghanistan for last. But let's get to the Blinken stuff. An absolute disaster for this administration. Once again, egg on the face, deer in the headlights, Stu, I call him, Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State. Nothing but the blame game. Gave you nothing. Gave you absolutely nothing. Couldn't even tell you how many Americans are still behind enemy lines. The beat goes on here. But, you know, Tony Blinken, as expected, I mean, you weren't going to get anything. You know that. But
yeah.
It's all about the finger pointing and everything else. It's all on Donald Trump. And here we go again. That's what Tony Blinken gave you this week.
I'll tell you, Jay, you know, this administration, it seems all of their decisions are 100% based on political decisions and motivations. And we see that in so many ways. First of all, in the testimony. Now there's reports coming out that show these are very recent reports coming out right now that President Biden was warned not to pull all of our troops out of Afghanistan by his own people. General Miller, who was a commander in Afghanistan, had advised against the full withdrawal to President Biden and his administration. He testified in the Senate Armed Services Committee. He advised leaving at least 2,500 troops to maintain stability. And also, what's even more shocking is they say even Secretary of State Blinken, he agreed with pulling everyone out, but not as fast, and he wanted to leave troops there as well. He didn't want to pull everyone out. He warned President Biden about this. He's not saying that now, of course, like you just mentioned, but that these reports are saying that he did warn him about doing that. General Milley himself wanted to keep 4,000 troops there, it's being reported now. And Biden's statement was basically, the general strong-armed President Obama, not happening now. He used some expletives when he said it, and moved ahead with the August 31st date. These reports are coming out right now. That's, I think, incredibly damaging, that even his own people were advising him not to do this. And as much as, Jay, there was complete incompetence across a broad spectrum of leaders in this debacle, it's true. The buck stops with President Biden. He said it, and it's true. Now, even these people warned him that this was a bad idea. So to try and divert attention from that is crazy. And as far as Secretary of State Blinken and his testimony, one of the things that I saw that I think is, you know, appalling is when they asked him about this drone strike. It was, you know, right after our troops had been killed in Afghanistan and Kabul. And at the time, right, it was all over the news. They were saying they wanted to win, Jay. They wanted to say, look, we struck back. We got someone. This massive explosion. And he even said, well, this explosion was so big because it was secondary explosives in a car, a bomb that went off. Well, now experts are questioning if that's actually true. And when Secretary Blinken was asked about this, I think it was Rand Paul that asked him, he says, all of a sudden, because now, Jay, there's allegations that they killed a guy who was an aid worker. He was in ISIS-K. Not to mention, they killed many children under the age of 15. And they killed, according to the family over there, three people who were on a pathway to get a visa to come here. So this might turn into be a big disaster, this drone strike. And all of a sudden, when he's questioned about it on the stand, Secretary Blinken says, I can't talk about that. It's classified. Well, it wasn't classified when it was all over the news when it was happening. All of a sudden, he doesn't want to talk about it. Because I think that might turn into be a situation, Jay, where they wanted to win. They didn't have adequate intelligence. They just had to launch something to divert attention from 13 U.S. service members being killed. They launched this strike without the proper intelligence, and innocent people were killed. That's what it's starting to look like right now, Jay.
And they lied again because they said, remember in the beginning, oh, we got the ISIS-K planners. But they didn't give any names. You know, I mean, that was a tell-all sign to me, Captain Bombays. That something was awry there, okay? This individual that was killed was aiding families, okay? Families. This was an aid. I mean, it is unbelievable. It is unreal. We inherited a deadline. That's all they would say. We inherited a deadline. We did not inherit a plan. They had no plan. That was the problem. You know, I say this till the cows come home, okay? Everybody blames Trump and the deadline. Listen, it wasn't a great plan. May 1st, I get it. But for the 900th time, Trump at least had a contingency plan, okay? He had the plan. Biden had no plan. He wanted to look good coming up on 9/11 And what does he get? Egg in his face and 13 service members dead. Okay? Live with that, Joe Biden. Live with that. Because that's really what it's all about here. And I've said this a million times. If you're evacuating an airbase, as Biden did on July the 5th, without even notifying the Afghan military, you are not listening to any staff members, generals, and everybody who's telling. And don't tell me that the Taliban blindsided. The Taliban was on the march from the end of March to August. They were gobbling up territories like the game Pac-Man. So, in essence, they knew what was going on here. He defied the odds and decided he wanted to do what he wanted to do in order to get the pats on the back come 9/11. And look what happened here. Trump maintained the fighter jets. He maintained the armed drones at Pogrom and used them for what reason? To keep the Taliban in check. That's what he did. Okay. And he showed them when they tried to welch on that deal when he started throwing off bombs in those fields. Remember that. A lot of people don't talk about that one, do they? But in essence, Joe Biden, you left $80 billion in equipment there. Can't figure that one out. You entrusted a terrorist organization. Okay? And they are a terrorist organization. We'll get to that in a second. Rung three in the ladder. And, of course, you evacuated the airbase, which made no sense. Captain, the Taliban today and the reports, protesters, and they're beating people up. They are, as disingenuous to women as could be. It is no surprise what you have going on over there right now. We know we talked about the government form, the terrorists, people that have been released from detention centers, Guantanamo and everything else. You got heads of state over there that are known terrorists. This is what's happening right now, folks. And meanwhile, you still have people stranded there. Americans. That's another thing. We never could get out of blitz. It's like the corporate line. So how many Americans are there? Oh, about 100. We've been hearing 100 for 3 weeks.
It's,
I mean, it's unbelievable. How many are there? 100 or 200? You know, you listen to this other clown. What's his name? Ron Klain. We got about 100. He's been saying that for 21 days.
Yeah,
I've had all I
and
can.
They come right out and say they don't know how many, which is also scary.
But the Taliban, currently right now, it is a disaster what's happening over there.
It's a disaster. If you've seen the recent story with the Afghan sniper who was trained by the British Special Forces, and the Taliban brought him out into the street and his family watching and executed him. You know, Jay, when I was in Iraq, I saw this type of retaliation. I experienced it firsthand. We had when I was in Samarra, we were attacked when we were out doing patrols, and some of the Iraqi police performed bravely and during this operation. And it was several weeks later that five of these Iraqi police were all targeted on their way to work. And one day, all of them murdered, leaving their homes. It was the same type of retaliation you're seeing right now, like with this sniper right now. And unfortunately, you're going to see so much of this continue. We're going to hear these stories, this brutality, for a long, long time now. It's just going to be a thorn in President Biden's side every time one of these stories comes out of the Taliban exacting revenge on people that worked with us. They're not even attempting to hide it. This is the way they operate. And, in that region of the world, especially with groups like this, with the Taliban, you know, it's just, there's a different value on life than what we're used to in the West. And they will be doing this, taking people out, executing them, murdering them for any relation to the U.S. for a long time. And it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be painful to watch for really long. This weakness we've shown, Jay, is going to have a broad effect on our national security policies. We have, like I said, Secretary Blinken in March had gone to Europe, spoke with the NATO ministers. They all said we're really very concerned. We're worried about pulling everyone out. They came back and told Biden, and he says, I don't care. We're pulling them out. They're not going to strong army like they did to President Obama. That's That's what put us in this position. And now those same ministers, NATO and other countries, leaders, they no longer trust us to be a strong, reliable ally. And that's going to have lasting effects with this country. We see right now, totally aside from Afghanistan, North Korea doing short-range missile tests right now. They said the time for talks are over, and they're doing tests again. Well, it's because they see the weakness. They know we're not going to do anything about it. There will be no response. And this is what the position it's put our country in, Jack.
That's a great point. A slimmed-down Kim Jong-un, little girl with a curl over there, continuing to play with his nuclear weapons and his missiles and everything else that he's firing off there. And why not? I mean, you see how Joe Biden is going about it. This isn't Donald Trump, folks. The world sees us, you see. And that's the most troubling part of this whole thing is we have gone down a couple of notches. The superpower of the United States of America once was. Not anymore. Not anymore. That's how we have showed the planet over the last 6.5 weeks. Week. Afghanistan, the pullout, the Taliban celebrating, empty coffins. The American flag draped over those coffins. Remember that? The partying in the streets. The riding in the Humvees. Equipment that we left there. Flying our helicopters with bodies. Remember that scene? Real good look, right? For our allies. Real confidence level. Real confidence building. And the captain's right. Look out. Look what's going on. North Korea. And who knows what China's thinking right now after that alleged phone call from the Joint Chiefs. Could it get any worse? Really? Could it get any worse? With everything going, and we're only 9 months into this. Unbelievable. I know you got to go. We appreciate a couple of minutes. We'll keep on top of things, and we'll talk soon, sir.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me on.